can confine people within their own minds. And it's this Griffin ability, the next page tells me, that made the Noxum facility possible. At the sight of the word Noxum, my heart thumps faster. I swallow and continue to read about how Reinhold researchers combined this particular Griffin ability with a tiny amount of poison extracted from a creature called a Rememorath. This creature is apparently a close relative of something called a Moriorath, which researchers experimented on first and were unable to extract poison from. But the document doesn't tell me what the poison from either of these two creatures actually does. The section ends with a small picture of Shyla and one last line saying that she remains in custody at Reinhold while further uses for her ability are being determined. The last two pages talk about plans for future experiments, along with a section about funding, which obviously isn't helpful. I roll the pages back together and place the scroll on the ground beside me, feeling ill. I'm not sure about Dash, but the more I think about it, the more convinced I am that Vi, Rin, and the rest of the Griffin rebels have been taken to Reinhold. They don't all have Griffin abilities, but most of them do. And if the Guild wants to take advantage of those abilities, this is the perfect way to do it. Feeling the need to occupy myself with something else, I pick up the knives I haven't shrunk yet and walk a short distance away to where our makeshift targets still stand. I practice for a long time, enjoying the way I don't have to think about anything else when I'm focusing on trying to throw a weapon correctly. As the sun goes down, I manage to form a glowing orb and leave it floating nearby while I continue. When it's almost time to wake Aurora, I pack away most of our things, so we'll be ready to leave when she wakes me. The tablets, the mirror, my jacket containing knives in hidden pockets, any other weapons still lying around. I dismantle the targets, fail to transform them back into branches, and decided to just leave them. Then, I unroll my sleeping bag and shake Aurora's shoulder as I climb into it. She grumbles something about having been asleep for only a few minutes, but she rubs her eyes and crawls out onto the ground. "Walk around for a bit," I tell her, as Bandit sneaks past my arm into the sleeping bag as a cat. "That should help you wake up." "Mmm," she says. As my head hits the pillow, she asks, "Can I read this?" I look up and see her holding the scroll. "Sure. I should warn you, though," I add as I turn over. "It's kind of depressing." I wake with a jolt as someone shoves me roughly. For a moment, I'm back on the blue hillside, expecting Kala to tell me about Central Park. We'll get up and race off to the city so I can tell the forest to vanish. But the sleepiness clears from my mind, and I remember that that's already happened. "Em," Aurora hisses, "get up." "What?" I sit up, pushing my hair out of my face. "What's wrong?" It's still dark, but faint light moves somewhere behind Aurora. "Guardians," she says. "It was the light that woke me. I got up and saw them down there." She points over her shoulder. "They're dressed all in black, but I'm sure I saw guardian weapons. They're coming up the hill, Em. Fast." Chapter 18. The world spins as I scramble hastily to my feet. What the? How did they? My gaze falls on the golden digits hanging in the air. They're all zeros. Aurora! Damn it. How long have we been asleep? Not an important question, I remind myself as she stammers out apologies, since the answer is clearly too long. I focus on the approaching guardians making their way swiftly up the hill toward us with orbs of light bobbing above them. I can see three figures so far, but there must be more behind them. My immediate thought is to say something to command them all to freeze, but I remember that I used all my griffin magic on granting Bandit the power to become a full-sized dragon, which, it appears, might actually save us, because the Bandit who was curled against my chest moments ago is no longer a cat. He's now a sleek black dragon with burning red eyes. Imperia and Bandit breathe flames at the oncoming guardians, but they shield themselves with magic and continue advancing. I should be running, grabbing a stylus, throwing magic at those guardians. Anything except standing motionless as my brain tries to decide which will be faster, opening a doorway wide enough to fit dragons through, or climbing onto those dragons and flying away. all while a single thought batters at the edge of my mind. Calla will be so disappointed in me when she finds out I couldn't get this one simple thing right. Em, come on! Aurora yells, spinning around and aiming for Imperia's leg. I'm about to race after her when the orbs bob lower over the Guardians, and I notice something unexpected about the woman in the middle. Something familiar. Violet? I whisper out loud. It is her, and on either side of her are Rin and Dash. For several confusing moments, I wonder if I might still be asleep. Then Bandit lets loose another stream of flames, and I know I can't possibly be dreaming the scorching heat. Wait, stop! I shout, rushing back a few paces and smacking Bandit's side. Bandit, stop! He pauses his attack, but Imperia tosses her head and breathes more flames. I look back to where Aurora's scrambling up Imperia's leg. Make her stop, please! Those are my parents, and Dash is with them. They must have escaped together. And Vi must have used her griffin ability to find me. I launch forward and run toward them. Despite having days to think about it, I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to say to them. All I know is that they're my family, and they're finally safe, but why... Why aren't they... I slow down as I realize they're not smiling. They're not excited. In fact, their faces seem to be devoid of any expression. And their eyes, now that they're close enough for me to make out the details of their faces, I can see that something isn't right. A chill skitters across my skin when I realize exactly what it is. Their eyes almost completely white, glazed over, staring at nothing. They must be able to see something, though, because they continue marching forward with unwavering purpose. Crap, 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 I mutter, backtracking hastily. Something isn't right, I shout to Aurora. You think? She shouts back in the tone that says, duh. They're like zombies. We need to run. We need to fly. As I pass the backpack, I reach down and grab it. Bandit, shrink! I yell at him, pulling the backpack onto my shoulders. Seconds later, Bandit swoops through the air in bird form and flutters around me as I scramble up Imperia's side. Above me, Aurora reaches the saddle. She tosses one of the straps down, then yells out a command. As I grab onto the trailing piece of leather, Imperia launches into the air, her wings beating past me with powerful force. Sliding against the side of her body, I hang onto the strap with every ounce of strength I possess. Quickly! I yell. Go! Bandit swoops past my head and lands on my shoulder, just as bright magic burns across my right arm. I cry out and almost lose my grip on the leather strap, but I clench my teeth and cling tighter and tell myself not to look at the wound. I expect Imperia to veer upward, but instead she aims straight ahead at the cliff face. Aurora's stylus zooms ahead of us. It smacks against the sheer rocky surface, skids down, then rises up again. Clumsily, it rights against the rock, and nothing happens. Over the sound of air rushing past my ears, I can just make out Aurora's curse of frustration. The stylus moves again, and this time a dark space begins to form. Imperia tucks her wings flat against her body, and we shoot straight into the fairy paths. The moment we land, Imperia roars and twists around, snapping at her tail. "What's wrong?" Aurora shouts. I look back, my heart leaping at the sight of the thing that's causing Imperia's distress. "Dash!" I yell at him. "Get off! You're going to end up flattened!" I doubt he can hear me, and who knows if my words would even make sense to him in his zombie-like state. But he lets go of Imperia's tail and drops to the ground. A second later, Imperia's tail slams down on top of him. "No!" I gasp. Without pause, I let go of the strap and slide down Imperia's side. As my feet strike the ground, Aurora yells a single word at Imperia, saving Dash's motionless body from being walloped a second time. I race toward him, muttering, "You stupid, stupid boy. What the hell were you thinking?" I drop onto my knees beside him. My eyes dart across his body, searching for puncture wounds from the mastic spikes on Imperia's tail. I can't see any blood, though. It must have been the lower surface of her tail that struck him. Still, I wouldn't be surprised if half the bones in his body have been fractured. "Don't touch him," Aurora says, running up to my side. "You might injure him further." "I know, I know." but my hands hover near him nonetheless. What do we do? What if he has broken bones? We can't take him anywhere. I don't think Imperia hit him that hard. Hopefully he's just unconscious. You don't think she hit him that hard? I repeat, incredulous. Did you see her tail coming down on top of him? I know it might have looked bad, but she's been trained not to deliver a lethal blow. Philip made sure of that when my mother told him she was allowing me to take dragon riding lessons. Can't have the princess accidentally squished, right? Okay, but this was a threatening situation in an unfamiliar environment, and Imperia knew it wasn't you hanging onto her tail. I think she would have been a little rougher than normal. Yes, okay, but I'm sure he'll be fine. She leans further over Dash, as Bandit, in mouse form, creeps toward Dash's face and gently pokes his cheek with one paw. He may have a few fractured ribs, Aurora says, but fairy magic doesn't take too long to heal that kind of thing. As if to prove her point, a groan escapes Dash's lips at that moment. See? She says. He's going to be fine. Relief floods my body, but it's overshadowed a moment later by the reminder that Dash isn't himself right now. He's still a danger to us. Crap, we need to tie him up. I shrug free of the backpack and pull it open. Dash groans again, louder this time, and I see his face crumple in an expression of intense pain as I glance up. "Is this what you meant by fine?" I ask Aurora, as I continue to rummage through the dozens of miniature supplies. "Look, obviously he's going to feel some pain. Maybe a lot of pain, but he will be fine. And can you hurry up? He's going to be properly awake any second." I know, I'm trying to... Ah, there it is. I place the tiny coil of rope on the ground and enlarge it as quickly as I can. Aurora's magic slices it in half, and while I wind my piece around Dash's wrists, her magic directs the other piece around his ankles. Oh, wait. Fluffing hell. Excuse me? His guardian weapons will be able to cut through a normal rope. That's what Kala said. I shove my hand back into the backpack and pull out a small notebook. We have to add a small enchantment. I page swiftly past the first few spells Kala wrote down for me. There. I touch the rope around Dash's wrists and read out the words, then do the same thing for his ankles. I've barely finished when he begins struggling against his bonds. That was close, Aurora says. Maybe you should memorize that spell. And any other in-the-moment kind of spell where you wouldn't have time to look it up? Hey, keep still, I tell Dash as he continues to struggle. You're only going to hurt yourself more. I lean over him, trying to pin his shoulders down, while Aurora does the same with his legs. Dash grits his teeth against whatever pain he's feeling, his creepy clouded eyes darting everywhere. Dash, I say, louder this time. Stop it, okay? Stop struggling. Hey, can you even hear me? Finally, his body goes limp. I slowly let go of his shoulders and sit back. Dash tilts his head to the side and blinks at me. You must be captured, he says in a voice devoid of emotion. If you cannot be captured, you must be killed. A chill raises goosebumps across my arms. Killed? I exhale a shaky breath of a laugh. That seems a little drastic. You like me, Dash. You don't want to kill me. You must be captured, he repeats. If you cannot be captured, you must be killed. I shake my head and whisper, what have they done to you? I can't help remembering the last time I saw him. His cocky grin was in place, and his green eyes sparkled as he told me not to miss him too much. Save me a kiss, was the last thing he said. I hadn't doubted then that I'd see him again soon. I always saw him again soon. That seemed to be the way things worked once I reached the Fey Realm. He was always just... there. Until suddenly, he wasn't, and I had no idea why, and I missed him far more than I expected. You must be captured, he says once more. If you cannot be captured, you must be killed. Okay, that is going to get annoying really quickly, Aurora says. We may need to gag him. I look away from his creepy gaze. Yes, I'd rather not hear any more words about how I must be killed. As I wrap my arms around myself, I become abruptly aware of the stinging pain I forgot all about when I saw Dash had come with us through the fairy paths. I lift my arm to get a better look at the wound, then lower it quickly. The sight of the blood that's oozed down my arm makes me feel a little dizzy. "Oh, ouch," Aurora says, leaning forward to peer at my arm. "When did that happen?" "As we were escaping, just after Imperia took off." I breathe in deeply and try to think of things that have nothing to do with my own blood. Looking around at the palm trees, the tall grass, and the strip of blue sea in the distance, I ask, "Where are we anyway?" "Somewhere deserted, I hope." "Well, my mind wasn't exactly clear when I finally got that doorway open," she admits. "I was trying to think of places I know that are far from any dwellings, I think." She looks around. "Yes, this is the area I was thinking of. Our coastal manor house is nearby, you know, for holidays." My mouth drops open. "You brought us somewhere near one of your family's houses? And you thought that would be safe?" "It's fine, Em. The area's deserted aside from our estate, and no one will be there now. Do you really think it's the appropriate time for the rest of my family to take a vacation?" I exhale slowly. "I guess when you put it that way." Dash makes a half-hearted effort at pulling his hands free of the ropes. "You must be killed," he says. I turn my attention back to him, searching his clouded eyes for any spark of life or recognition, any hint that the Dash I know still exists beneath the layers of enchantment controlling him. "Do you think he's still in there?" I ask Aurora. "Or do you think the state he's in now is permanent?" She gives me a helpless look.
"I don't know, Em. I haven't seen anyone in this kind of state before. It sounds a little bit like the brainwashing spell Lord Draven put on people to get them to follow him, but as far as I know, that spell didn't have this sort of lifeless side effect. Those people appeared completely normal, except for the part where they wholeheartedly believed they needed to serve Lord Draven." I tilt my head as I watch Dash. "I wonder if my griffin ability might work on him. Maybe I can say something that will free him of this enchantment."
"Oh, yes!"
Aurora's voice lights up.
"That could work! When will your griffin ability be replenished?"
"Another few hours, I think." I look up at the position of the sun, but it doesn't help much when I have no clue what time zone we're in.
"Okay, well, whenever it happens, you can try commanding Dash to be normal."
She sounds so certain, as if there's no way my griffin ability won't work. I, on the other hand, am not so sure. "Remember I tried to wake Danny, the woman I thought was my mother, when she was in the enchanted coma?" I say. "It didn't work." Aurora hesitates, chewing on her lip.
"True. But you may as well try with Dash, right?"
"Yes, I may as well." Bandit scampers over to me and climbs onto my knee. The reason I couldn't wake Danny was because the sleeping spell had something to do with witch magic. It was one of the anti-griffin-gifted spells they crafted. Hopefully, whatever's affecting Dash has nothing to do with witch magic. Maybe it's something they developed at Reinhold, I say, thinking back to all the experimentation Perry's document mentioned. "Did you read any of those pages last night before you fell asleep?"
"Hey, look, I didn't intend to fall asleep," Aurora says, crossing her arms. "It was an accident, and that countdown timer should really have a noise enchantment added to it. If it had sung us a song when it reached zero, we would have woken up and left in time."
Dash chooses that moment to punctuate our conversation with a lifeless, "You must be killed." We both ignore him. "Whoa, no need to get so defensive," I say. "That's not what I meant. I was legitimately asking if you read any of the information about Reinhold Research Station."
"Oh, sorry."
She unfolds her arms and looks down at her hands.
"And I'm sorry I fell asleep when I shouldn't have. I really didn't intend to."
"I know. And thanks for the reminder about the timer, actually." I move Bandit onto the ground before standing. Then I walk a few steps away and perform the spell that restarts the golden numbers counting down from 15 hours.
I've only done it once before, so it takes a few attempts for me to get it right, but fortunately, Aurora doesn't comment on this. And yes, I did read some of those pages, she says as I return to her side. Do you think that's where they did this to Dash? Yes, maybe. I was starting to doubt it, since that report spoke mainly about experimenting on Griffin abilities and Dash doesn't have one, but someone said he might be there. And then he turns up acting like he's under the influence of some weird zombie robot enchantment. It seems like too much of a coincidence, right? That must be where this happened to him. Aurora nods. Definitely seems possible. And if Dash came from Reinhold, then Violet and Rin obviously came from there too. And since they didn't catch us, that's where they'd return to, right? Aurora lifts her shoulders in a hesitant shrug. I don't know, Em. We can't assume that. Where else would they go? Well, there are many guilds throughout the world, and any one of them could be imprisoning Griffin Gifted within their walls and carrying out experiments on them. This, she gestures at Dash, could have happened anywhere. Your friends, your parents, could be anywhere. I look at Dash again, and my voice is quiet when I say, I hope you're wrong, because I'm tired of not knowing where they are. But I also kinda hope you're right, because Reinhold seems like one seriously awful place to be locked up. I stick my hand into the backpack again and fish around for the Reinhold scroll. Eventually, when my fingers can't locate it, I peer inside. A chill settles over me when I realize it isn't there. Aurora, I say carefully, what did you do with the Reinhold papers after you read them? Without saying anything, she lifts the bottom of her t-shirt, revealing a wad of roughly folded papers flattened against her stomach. I didn't leave them behind for your brainwashed Griffin rebel friends to find, if that's what you're asking. I breathe out and take the papers from her. Thank goodness. It would not be good if the Reinhold researchers knew to expect us. I unfold the pages and place them on the ground in front of us. Okay, did it say anywhere in here where this place actually is? I think I saw a town name somewhere. Aurora shuffles through the pages. It was on the first page, where they were talking about designing and building the place. It said something about how they planned to keep their work hidden from the locals. And they mentioned a town there. Yes, here it is. She lifts one of the pages. Hellerstad. Do you know where that is? She lowers the page. Normally I'd give you some snarky comment about how I have better things to do than memorize the locations of small random towns, but Hellerstad is, like, the only town in the whole of Soris, so, yeah, I've heard of it. Soris? I ask. Should I know what that is? It's the southernmost continent of our world. It's completely covered in ice, so even with magic, it isn't the most pleasant place to live. So, like, Antarctica? I think so. My knowledge of the human world is sketchy, at best. Okay, great. I gather the papers together and roll them up. We're going to Hellerstad. You must be killed, Dash intones. I roll my eyes. Yeah, thanks. I heard you the first few times. You really want to go to this place? Aurora asks. Yes. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of being useless. I want to go to Reinhold Research Station and get everyone back. I clench both hands around the scroll, crumpling the pages further. You don't know what it's like, day after day, knowing that your family is being tortured somewhere and not being able to do a thing about it. Now that we finally know something, I want to act on it. Aurora nods slowly as she looks at Dash. I understand. I still think it's extremely dangerous and, well, Violet and Rin didn't seem to be tortured in any way while they were marching toward us, so that's a good thing. True, but we don't know what will happen to them when they get back to Reinhold. If that's where they're being held, Aurora reminds me. So what do you want to do? I snap. More nothing? Not nothing, she exclaims.
But, Em, what if you're wrong? What if they're not there? What if you and I end up trapped inside this research station?
I pull my head back, narrowing my eyes at her, remembering that she's the reason we were almost caught earlier. And what if, just maybe, it wasn't an accident?
Are you trying to stop me from rescuing the rebels for some reason?
She gives me an "are you stupid" look.
Not for some reason. The reason is that I kind of like being alive, and I don't particularly want that to end. I figured you'd feel the same way.
Her brow creases further.
What other reason might there be?
I shut my eyes, feeling terrible for having suspected her, if only for a moment. My brief suspicion didn't even make sense. If she did want me to be caught, it would be by her own people, not the guild. I press my hand against my brow. Sorry, I have difficulty trusting people after everything that's happened recently. That's what I would say if I finished that sentence. Instead, I lower my hand and open my eyes. We don't have to get caught or lose our lives. I'll wait for my griffin ability to recharge, and then I just need to tell the researchers to set all the griffin rebels free and not to come after any of them as they walk out, or something like that. I'll refine the words before I say them, obviously.
And if you can't remove the magic that's turned them all into this,
Aurora gestures at Dash.
I'm just saying we need to be sensible, Em. At the very least, we need to know your people are definitely there before we go charging in. And we should probably wait for Calla. We shouldn't do something this big on our own. Especially since I have, like, zero experience in the rescue operation department.
I sigh. And the only experience I have is one failed attempt.
You must be killed.
Shut up!
Aurora and I shout at the same time. Jeez, she adds. She looks at me. Don't you have something in that backpack of a zillion wonders that we can shove in his mouth to keep him quiet? I'm sure I could find something. I dig inside the backpack for the third time, searching for a small article of clothing. I look up after retrieving a sock and find Aurora leaning over Dash, peering closely at his face.
What are you doing?
Just wondering what's going on behind those creepy eyes. Maybe he's fully aware of everything we're saying, but he can't say anything back to us except what he's been instructed to say. Or maybe he's asleep, or at least not aware.
I don't know, but can you please lengthen this so I can fit it around his head?
I hand her the sock. I'm sure you can do it faster than I can. She takes the sock, barely concentrating on the lengthening spell, as she continues speaking.
If he's not aware of us, then I wonder if he's dreaming.
She passes the extra long sock back to me.
Dreaming would be good.
It would? I ask, as I lean over Dash.
Yes, communication is possible through dreams.
I sit back, the sock still in my hands.
Really? Yes, I performed the spell a few times. One of my ladies-in-waiting wanted to get inside the dreams of a guy she liked. You know, to try to influence him in the right direction.
But, okay. I decide not to point out everything that's wrong with that story.
Is that some kind of weird unseely magic? Like, do I have sacrificed something or draw magic from another person?
I don't think there are any laws against it, aside from the laws of social etiquette, which obviously say it's rude to invade someone's dreams without their permission.
She pauses, her frown deepening. Yeah, okay. It's probably against the guild's laws, too, seeing as how it's subconscious influence, and the actual spell can be dangerous if not administered properly. But it doesn't seem like a super serious law.
She gives me a knowing smile.
I'm sure Dash wouldn't mind if you invaded his dreams.
This is serious, Rora.
Right, I know. Sorry. So, do you want to try it? If he is actually dreaming and you're able to talk to him, you can ask him if the other rebels are definitely at Reinhold.
That's definitely a more sensible option than rushing off without knowing if they're actually there. Calla might even approve of that option if she were here.
I bite my lip.
It still sounds weird, though, potentially being inside someone's dream.
Aurora shrugs. You don't have to do it. You can always wait another few hours and see if your Griffin ability works.
I heave a resigned sigh. I think I've already told you how I feel about waiting.
You're tired of it?
Exactly.
Okay, then. Time to put you to sleep.
Chapter 19. Thanks to the magic-laced lullaby Aurora sings, I fall asleep in less than a minute. It's a different kind of sleep. Sleep filled with an awareness I've never experienced before. I walk across a shadowed landscape of continually changing scenery. Roads, corridors, forests, feeling very much awake while also being certain that I'm dreaming. It's fascinating, this dream world. I want to explore it. I reach with one hand toward the tree I'm about to walk past, wondering if bark feels the same in a dream as it does in real life. Beneath my palm, I sense the same rough texture as I drag my hand slowly across the tree trunk. But all of a sudden, as if the change happened so fast I didn't even see it, I'm standing in a living room near a floor-to-ceiling window. For some reason, the view beyond the window is hazy, but I can make out enough bright lights to know that there's a city full of high-rise buildings out there. I turn slowly, noticing that the edges of the room are also unclear. The pictures on the walls are blurred, and the staircase melts into a dark brown smudge about halfway up. But I can only seem to look at these things from the edges of my vision, so perhaps they're not really blurry. Perhaps it's just that something is keeping me from seeing properly. Weird, I murmur. I keep turning, and my heart almost leaps from my chest when I see the creature in the center of the living room. Draped partially across the coffee table, amid upturned furniture, is a giant serpent. Its head hangs over one side of the coffee table, eyes glazed over and mouth open just enough to reveal impossibly large fangs. On the floor nearby lie the bodies of a boy in his teens and a man, and beside them another boy, kneeling on the floor, his hands over his face and his body shuddering as he cries. The green in his hair reminds me abruptly that I'm here for a reason. Somehow I'd completely forgotten. Dash? I ask quietly. He freezes. Slowly, he lowers his hands and looks around at me. I can't tell how old he is. Younger than present-day Dash, but it's definitely him. He stands, and in less than a blink, he becomes the Dash I know now. Em? He asks. How are you here? You're not part of my nightmare. It's him. It's really him. The living room melts away as I race across it and throw my arms around him. But I almost fall forward as I end up hugging air. I look again and realize he's just a little further away. I move forward as he opens his arms to me, but still I can't seem to hug him. My arms move through him, or rather past him. Em, what's going on? I ask, surprised by how desperately I long to feel his arms around me. Why can't I touch you? I don't know. Maybe because it's a dream? A nightmare. You know you're dreaming? Trees race past us, then melt away to reveal an empty room. Yes, I feel like I've been dreaming forever, but why? How are you here? It's a spell Aurora did. You're not exactly yourself at the moment. I mean, out there in the waking world. We got you away from whoever it is that did this to you, but they're controlling your actions somehow. You keep saying the same thing over and over. Aurora said I'd be able to communicate with you properly if you were dreaming, which you obviously are. What is this spell? I've never heard of it. Probably because it's not the kind of thing the Guild would approve of, wandering into people's dreams without their permission and all that. He nods, then blinks, and shakes his head. That isn't important. You're here. You're here, Emmy. And you're okay. He pauses. Are you okay? It's hard to remember what happened before this. There were pods, and we were flying, and then a prison cell and a funnel hanging above me. He squints at the ground. It's a lethal dose. You're going to die, Dash. A shiver chills my skin. Dash, you're not dying. None of this is real. Wouldn't want to kill you all at once. What are you talking about? I don't know. I can't remember anything clearly. It's like a dream I can't properly recall. Dash, I say carefully, this is the dream. No, he whispers, still looking at the ground. This is the nightmare. This is the torture prison. The chill sinks further, right into my bones. What? I realize that the room we're in is no longer empty. It isn't small, either. Without me noticing, it grew into an enormous gym. Behind Dash, I see various types of exercise equipment, a climbing wall, ropes hanging from the ceiling, and other unfamiliar items I don't know the purpose of. The floor between Dash and me expands rapidly, pulling him to the other side of the room in seconds. I start running toward him, watching as a woman walks up to him. I slow down as I near the two of them. "They didn't make it," I hear her say. "The poison spread too quickly. They're both dead." Dash's body seems to crumple in on itself. He drops onto his knees. "They're dead?" he repeats. "They're dead." The woman steps away from him, walking backward as she repeats her words, louder and louder. The words become a screaming echo, tripping and tumbling over themselves as they claw their way into my ears. "They're dead. Dead. Ed. Ed. Dead. They're dead. They're dead. Ed. Ed." I press my hands over my ears as the screams become unbearably loud. Dash is standing right in front of me again, though I'm pretty sure he didn't move. His eyes are red, his face twisted in pain. He reaches for my hand again, but his arm sweeps past me instead. The echoes of the scream vanish, so I lower my hands. "What the hell was that about?" He clears his throat before speaking. "Don't you understand what this is yet? I'm caged inside my own mind. These are my memories, the worst experiences of my life. I'm forced to relive them over and over. Warped, twisted versions, even worse than the first time around. I tell myself none of this is real, but it makes no difference. It hurts every time. It hurts all the time. So this is what the torture at the Noxum facility is all about. They lock you inside your mind and torture you with your own painful memories?" "Yes." "Which means the others are still going through this torture as well," I say quietly, something twisting painfully inside me. "Vi and Rin and the other rebels who were caught." "Yes." Dash looks at me more intently then. "Violet and Rin," he murmurs. "Your parents." He smiles, and if it wasn't for the dark skin beneath his red-rimmed eyes, he would look almost like his normal, happy self. "Your parents. I remember now. That's what you shouted out, and it made so much sense then, after everything Zed explained about you being a changeling, and yet absolutely crazy at the same time. Crazy that you found your way to your family without even realizing it. Damn, I wish I could hug you right now. I'm so happy for you. I'm so..." He makes a half-hearted attempt at a laugh. "Look at that. I'm still inside my nightmare, and I'm actually feeling happiness instead of heartache." Tears prick my lower eyelids. I blink them away. "Dash, do you know where you were when they did this to you? This nightmare spell, and the other magic that's controlling you. If you remember where it is, then I can stop whatever spell this is. You can be happy all the time again, and you can hug me as much as you want." He raises one eyebrow. "Careful. I'm gonna hold you to that." "I know. I don't care. I want you to hug me all the time." His eyebrows jump a little higher, and I race quickly past that admission before he can comment on it.
Just tell me. Was it Reinhold? Reinhold Research Station?
That sounds familiar, he says with a frown. I think I heard someone say Reinhold.
You have to be sure, Dash. I can't risk breaking into another high-security facility unless I know it's definitely the right place. It's just...
everything from the real world seems so fuzzy, so disjointed. I know I've heard someone talking about Reinhold, and about using the powers of certain Griffin-gifted Fae, and something about a woman named Shyla, but what if it was a conversation I overheard before I was captured? What if it has nothing to do with me?
Shyla, I repeat.
Yes, her name was in the report.
Her Griffin ability was used at the Noxum facility. She can...
yes, okay, it makes sense now.
They called her Griffin ability a mental prison, which is obviously where we are right now.
But how is that related to the way you're being controlled now?
Dash is frowning, trying to follow what I'm saying.
I don't know, Em. Maybe I heard about her ages ago,
or maybe you did hear someone speak about her now.
The report said she's still at Reinhold because they're trying to determine further uses for her ability.
Emerson!
I pause. The gym has become a forest of tall, skinny trees, reaching high into the smudged gray sky. The tips of their spindly branches blur into the background.
Did you hear that?
Dash's eyes, suddenly wide and afraid, dart behind and around me.
Hear what? A hiss?
Was it the serpent?
No, it sounded like my name.
Em!
I spin around, my eyes searching between the trees.
There. Did you hear it?
Yes. He breathes out slowly. If they know your name, then it's one of us.
One of us, you mean? I look again. The spindly trees melt into trees that are larger, more gnarled, tangled, and between crisscrossing branches, I see a woman running toward me.
It's as if we're all trapped together inside the same nightmarish world, Dash says quietly.
They're dead, someone screams behind us. But I'm already moving forward because I know who it is that's racing through the trees toward me. A flash of her purple hair, another shout of my name, and I know for sure that it's her.
Of all the ways I've imagined finally being reunited with one or both of my parents, this wasn't one of them. An ever-shifting nightmare landscape never crossed my mind. I race as fast as I can, but the trees don't get any closer. Looking down, I find that my feet aren't actually moving.
Stupid nightmare, I mutter between gritted teeth. I wrap my hands around my right thigh and manage to pull my foot up.
The ground stretches, becomes elastic, and part of it remains attached to the sole of my shoe. When I can no longer hold my leg up, the elastic ground tugs my foot back down.
Oh, come on! I shout at no one in particular. This isn't even my nightmare.
Em!
I look up at the sound of Violet's voice. She's close now, the sticky elastic ground appearing to have no effect on her. She's almost in front of me, and this is supposed to be an amazing moment, as I'm finally reunited with my real mother, and this stupid nightmare is ruining it.
As she reaches me, I manage to launch myself forward with a great effort. But we're like the mismatched ends of two magnets. Our arms move past each other, unable to ever touch.
"Are you real?" she asks, her eyes searching my face.
"Please be real. Please tell me you're not part of someone's nightmare."
"I'm not. I'm..."
The ground expands between us, and we're no longer in a forest. We're in a bedroom. There's a rocking chair behind Violet, and between us stands a crib. I know immediately what this nightmare is, and all I want to do is shove myself far away from what must be lying in that crib, but I can't move, and the crib seems to be growing larger, or I'm slowly falling toward it. I can't tell.
"You're not real,"
Vi whispers.
"This is still the nightmare. Just another version of it."
"I am real," I want to cry out. But just as I can't pull my feet from the ground, I can't pull my eyes from the crib. My body leans over it,
as if some sick, twisted part of me is in control now, forcing me to look. Finally, with my stomach churning, I see the tiny, motionless body lying within the crib. The floor opens up beneath my feet. I let out a yelp as I drop through the hole and... Chapter 20. I jerk as I wake up. My eyes are heavy. My mouth is dry. What? Why am I awake? I mumble, pushing myself up into a sitting position. Bandit rolls down my chest with a squeak and transforms into something blue and sparkly, with wings, as he launches into the air.
Oh, hey.
Aurora sits up, looking sleepy.
Did you manage to speak to Dash?
I blink.
Yes, but why did I wake up? I wasn't finished there. The spell only lasts a certain amount of time. It must have reached its end.
But I need to go back. Can't you do the spell again? She shakes her head.
It isn't good for you. You need to wait at least a day.
But why do you need to go back? Weren't you able to ask Dash about Reinhold?
You were there for...
She glances sideways at our floating numbers.
Almost 3 hours.
3 hours? It felt like only minutes. She arches an eyebrow and gives me another one of her duh looks.
Yes, well, dreams tend to feel like that.
I did ask him about Reinhold. It sounds like the Griffin rebels are there. But I need to go back into the dream for another reason. Let me just drink some water. I'm so thirsty.
And then you can do the spell again.
I stand. And the world spins so violently around me that I have no idea for several moments which way is up or down. When everything settles, I find myself lying on the ground, squinting past Aurora at the bright sky and the palm leaves waving across them.
Sorry, she says. I forgot to mention the intense dizziness side effect.
I want to sit up, but decide to give myself another few minutes to recover.
Is that the only thing that's bad for me? Because if it is, I can handle it.
Violet was there, which means Rin must have been somewhere there, too. I just want to talk to them, and I can't send you back, Em. The dizziness is just the beginning. If your mind doesn't have a break between dream communication sessions, the spell will begin to leave permanent damage. And even if that wasn't the case, I can't put you in someone else's dream world if that someone isn't here. I slowly push myself up, trying not to bring on any further dizziness. But I saw Violet. She was obviously part of Dash's dream.
That's not what Dash said. He said it's like they're all inside one nightmarish world.
Aurora lifts her shoulders.
I don't know, okay? If they're all inside the same dream, then that's some other magic I don't know about.
I pull one knee up against my chest and wrap my arm around it. It must be the torture prison magic.
You mean Noxum? I thought you said they were at Reinhold.
Yes, I think they are, but they're still under the influence of whatever torture magic was administered to them at the Noxum facility. I don't know what's affecting their bodies now, but their minds are still locked up in a mental prison.
Okay, so if you're sure they're at Reinhold, then let's go rescue them. You can talk to them once they're free, and you can stop pestering me about putting you back into dream contact with them.
Beside us, Dash mumbles around the sock. I'm fairly certain he's trying to say, you must be killed.
Oh, my Griffin ability, I can feel it.
A rush of joy accompanies the surge of magic. I shut my eyes and concentrate on making sure none of it escapes me yet.
Cool, Aurora says. Now you can try to wake Dash.
I open my eyes and look at him. His unseeing gaze stares past the palm fronds waving lazily in the breeze. I place my hand on his arm, desperate to free him from his horrendous nightmares, and see his green eyes alight with life and humor once again. But, wait, I don't know exactly what's wrong with him, so I don't know what to say to fix it.
So then just say a whole bunch of things, Aurora says. Say everything you can think of that might be wrong with him.
What if that ends up hurting him?
Don't be silly, Em. Why would that hurt him?
If you say to someone you no longer have scaled knuckle disease, it's not going to make any difference to them if they don't have scaled knuckle disease to start off with.
Okay, I guess so. I don't add the real reason for my hesitation. That I care more about Dash than I realized, and I don't want to screw this up. I let my breath out slowly. This is going to work, I quietly tell myself. This is going to work. Crap! This isn't going to work. Aurora's hand rests against my back.
Em, your griffin ability is probably the most powerful I've ever come across. Why would this not work?
Because, I answer silently, when you want something so badly you can actually feel it hurt, life never lets you have it.
But out loud, I say, okay, I'm gonna try now. My eyes slide shut as I let go of my power and speak.
Dash, no external magic is controlling your actions. No external magic is controlling your mind. The only magic within you and affecting you is your own.
I trail off then and open my eyes, unsure of what else to say.
I think something's happening, Aurora whispers. I watch closely as a shiver ripples through Dash's body. He blinks, then blinks again. Slowly, the white cloudiness vanishes from his eyes. At the sight of that vibrant green, I've missed so much. Hope breaks free from the careful hold I have over it, exploding with warmth throughout me. I lean forward and tug the sock away from Dash's mouth. I don't touch the ropes, though. It may not have worked properly, I remind myself, tempering my excitement so the disappointment, when it inevitably comes, doesn't crush me. He looks around, his eyes traveling across the bright, colorful landscape, so different from the dark nightmare world he's been locked in.
I'm awake, he says, sounding utterly confused. His voice, no longer robotic, sends another wave of warmth through my body.
I dare for a moment to believe that perhaps this time disappointment isn't coming.
Finally, Dash's eyes settle on me.
Em, you were there, inside the nightmare. Is this... am I really awake now?
Then, his gaze falls to the ropes around his wrists and ankles. His chest rises and falls more rapidly.
Holy fluffcakes, what did I do to you? Please tell me I didn't hurt you.
I almost laugh at the words fluffcakes. As I rush to untie the knots at his wrists, my words tumble happily from my mouth. Oh my goodness, it actually worked! My fingers fumble with the knots, and whenever my skin brushes against his, heat burns inside me, and sparks zip around our hands. I remember Aurora's explanation about magical manifestations of attraction, but I can't find it in myself to be embarrassed.
Emmy, did I hurt you?
Dash asks, his voice pained. I laugh and shake my head. You should be more worried about what Imperia did to you than what you might have done to us. I pull repeatedly at the ropes, and the stupid things are so stubborn, and then Aurora's leaning beside me, pushing my hands out of the way so she can use magic instead. And then Dash is tugging his hands free, and finally, finally, his arms are wrapped tightly around me, and I'm sinking against him.
Thank you, he says into my hair. You saved me.
I shake my head against his neck. My griffin ability, I didn't really know what to say. My command seemed so simple, but it worked. I want to hold on to him forever, but eventually I have to let go and pull away from him. I want to talk about the last time I saw him. I want to kiss him the way I did then, but now hardly seems like the appropriate time for things as frivolous as kisses.
Aurora? Dash says, looking past me. Hi.
Hey, she answers, giving him an awkward wave.
You're on our side?
You know I've saved Em from losing all her magic to my brother, right? So, yes, I'm on your side.
Okay. Dash sounds uncertain, but he doesn't argue. Then, his eyes are on me again, and he reaches up with both hands to cut my face. Your parents, your family, I'm still stunned. You're Victoria. You have a brother and grandparents and an aunt and uncle. I met you when we were both babies. How crazy is that? It's all I want to talk about, and yet now is just so not the right time, Aurora says, echoing my own thoughts. Dash's eyes remain trained on mine as he says, yeah, exactly. He withdraws his hands, leaving my skin cold. I clear my throat. What's the last thing you remember? Do you know what happened to you after the guild took you from Velazar? Slowly, he nods. Things are coming back to me. They're clearer now. So much clearer than when I was dreaming. His eyes take on a haunted look as he focuses on the ground. The nightmare consumed me. It became everything. I couldn't imagine anything existing beyond it. I place my hand gently over his. It's over now. Yes, he says in a tone that suggests he doesn't completely believe me. Then he gives his head a small shake and focuses his bright gaze on me again. They took me to the guild first, the detainment center. They told me they sent Vi and Rin straight to Noxum, but that I'd be receiving a fair trial. And I actually believed them. He lets out a bitter laugh. Then, one of the counselors came to my cell with three other guardians. They beat me up and dragged me out, telling me just before I passed out that it was completely unacceptable how I'd attacked these three men. Seeing as how dangerous I was, they'd need to remove me to a more secure facility. I knew that story was a lie, I mutter, then add, Perry told us, when Dash gives me a questioning look. I woke up at Reinhold, he continues. I'd never heard of the place before, but the men and women around me were talking when I woke. They thought we were healers at first. Boy, was I wrong. I remember them mentioning that we were at Reinhold, and they kept referring to someone named Shyla. They spoke about how she was already controlling several people, but she was definitely capable of handling more. And then they dragged me off to administer the nightmare essence. Nightmare essence? I ask. They actually called it that? Those were the words they used. Freaking creepazoids, I murmur. They took me to a room with a funnel hanging from the ceiling over a bed. That sounds like the cells in the Noxum facility, I say. Well, this nightmare essence must be what they use at Noxum to torture the inmates, he says. They probably developed it at Reinhold. Yes, that's what those papers said, Aurora chimes in. Dash is frowning now, his eyes darting back and forth, as if watching the scene play back across his eyelids. They forced me onto the bed and pulled the funnel down so it was closer to my face. The serum came out like a vapor, and no matter which way I twisted my head, I couldn't help breathing it in. And then... And then what? I ask. I remember it all now. Everything the researcher woman said. Like she was gloating. As if she enjoyed the fact that I knew what was going to happen and could do nothing about it. He looks up. His hand grabs my wrist, and his words become more urgent. She said I would be a brainless soldier for them, that my friends and I would all be soldiers. While our minds were locked up inside a nightmare, Shyla would direct our bodies. They'd recently realized her ability could do that too, take control over bodies while imprisoning minds. They planned to send us out in twos or threes, and I didn't know what that meant because I thought they'd only captured two of my friends, Rin and Violet. But then, she told me about the others. She said we would be used to round up the rest of the rebels, because the rebels would trust us. And by the time they realized something was wrong, it would be too late. It almost was too late, Aurora mutters. Fortunately, we got away on that's not all she said. Dash interrupts. He stands, sways for a moment, then steadies himself. Stylus, he says to me, holding his hand out. What? But I stick my hand into my jacket and find my stylus anyway. Dash, what's going on? I ask as I hand it to him. In order for us to leave the research station but still remain inside the nightmare, he pauses for a moment, to utter the words of a doorway spell. They would have to give us an extra-large dose of nightmare essence, a lethal-sized dose. That's what she told me just before I drifted into the nightmare, and that's why